Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Go. Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. Back with the second podcast of the week. This one. Well, this is the main event for JB.
It is.
I should let you do the intro because this is where you're at. This is what it's all about.
To be honest, I let myself down a bit this week. I've only seen two Premiership games. We lost our first game of the year against Widnes on the weekend.
Did you?
Yeah, you got big rivalry
didn't
against
Widnes. Did you lose the other week?
No. We were.
Oh, that was a second team game.
Yeah, second team against Warrington, that was. First team. Yeah.
It's your second defeat in a row.
Yeah, it's my second defeat in a
row. Uh-oh. Downfall 2022.
It's a tough one. 20 points to 8, we lost to Widnes. Right at the end, I got a belt on the back of the head. Podcast that, which I quite enjoyed.
Really?
Yeah. So Jamie was like, why did you put up with that, Jamie? It's like, that's his job. His job is to hit me in the back of the head and say podcast that. But no, honestly, it's not. Like, It was a tremendous game. It was a tremendous game. They are a very, very good team. And I think the difference between us was basically a 19-year-old winger. They had this little winger on, obviously on the wing, skinny little thing. I just assumed everyone would run over him and he had no place on there. Absolutely wrong. Tackled like an absolute beast. Went round our winger and our scrum half, who's probably our best tackler, to score a try. Just brilliant, brilliant performance. And it's horrible conditions as well, which we just didn't adapt to. But, you know...
Was this league or cup?
Thankfully, we're out of the cup, but it is cup. We're unbeaten in the league still.
And your big focus this year was promotion, wasn't it?
Well, we don't get promoted, but we'll get reorganised.
Okay.
I suspect ourselves and Widnes and maybe one other will go into level 6, which is where Broughton Park and Vale...
Raffy Quirk's Broughton Park.
Right, it's JB's Broughton Park. Actually, Alex Sanderson's dad's Broughton Park.
Is that right?
That is right.
I didn't know that.
And Simon McIntyre's Broughton Park.
Yes.
And at one point, Dan Scarborough's Broughton Park. So, yeah. Yes, but other results, some other cracking results this weekend. You know, essentially he's not played again.
No, I didn't actually. I didn't check the results this week.
Yeah, they've had another week off. The Albion won. The Albion beat Leeds, which is good. I haven't checked the results for Preston yet, though. So I think it's either Preston Blackburn this week or next week.
I think it's next week.
Now, if it's next week, that's interesting because I have a week off.
Ooh.
And I'm going to go and watch that if anyone fancies coming with me.
What, is it in Preston?
It doesn't really matter, does it? Preston
they're about 10, 15 miles apart.
That is going to be an absolute epic if it's next week.
What's the... We didn't do predictions in our Six Nations.
Oh, we didn't. Yeah, we'll have to cover that off later when we do the predictions for Premiership games. But I just want you to have that image of JB getting belted on the back of the head and saying,
"Podcast that!"
in a slightly
Scouse accent,
mid Scouse accent.
More Scouse than Manc, but yeah.
Have that in your head when you consider how you can support the podcast, because that's what happens as a consequence of making sure there's rugby fixes every single Monday, 52 weeks of the year for 8.5 seasons and counting.
Yeah,
and we appreciate your support, whether it's just by hitting subscribe, whether it's by leaving a 5-star review, or whether it's by getting a bit of extra content and supporting us at patreon.com/eggchasers. We really, really appreciate it.
I nearly thanked him for listening. I assume he must be a listener, which is really cool.
I'd say actually of the three of us, I'm very glad that you're still the one that is playing regularly because you're just giving people the opportunity to. Yeah.
Someone said something to me. It's very similar. I was playing Broughton Park's second
talking
team.
Talking to the mic.
Broughton Park's second team against Birkenhead Park. Very similar thing happened. Podcast that. So Blackburn Hoppers is at Hoppers, and it is on Saturday, 12th of February. I'm watching that. Without shadow of a doubt, I'll go and watch that.
I might be keen for that, actually.
That'll be a cracking game.
At Blackburn?
Preston.
Oh, Preston.
Yeah, Blackburn, second in the table, although they've played 18 games. Preston, third in the table on 17 games. Otley, top of the table. Have you played Otley?
Played Otley, yeah, quite a few times. Tough place to go.
Exciting stuff, isn't it? Exciting stuff. Who watched the Premiership then?
What game? I watched the... which game? I watched most of the Sale game.
Yeah.
Yep.
We should start there. That was the most significant game of the weekend.
Exeter Wasps was a... I didn't watch it. I've seen the highlights of Exeter Wasps. It feels like a fairly significant game, even if it has slightly less implications on the table.
Yeah, maybe I'm getting carried away with the whole Sale thing. When they beat Leicester last week, I started to wonder, can they? Because they're relatively unaffected by internationals.
And
in fact, to contrast that, not only are they not affected by internationals, but players that have been unavailable to them while everyone else has had their internationals are now coming back, in this case, Manu Tuilagi and Faf de Klerk.
And one which no one's mentioned, Kobus Visa. So that's a... Hang on, is it Kobus Visa? Have I made that up? Have I made that name up?
The lock?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so, you know, lock/6. So lots of reinforcements.
A South African lock/6.
You wouldn't believe it, would you?
They needed him.
Yes.
The reason I'm doubting myself, I'm thinking of Jasper Visa, but he's a brother, isn't he?
He's
yes.
Leicester Tigers.
Is he brother? Is that right? Are they brothers?
Yeah. And the
other... Are they brothers?
Yeah, I'm sure they are. Yeah, they absolutely are brothers.
I thought they were brothers.
Kobus Visa. And the other reason I'm doubting myself is because I had Kobus Visa. But Kobus Visa was the very famous lock back in the day that used to batter everyone, who used to pack down with John Andrews? See, now really... Is it Andrews? The big lock Andrews. Do you remember him? Bald headed?
Yes.
Paul Andrews? No.
Mark Andrews. There we go. Yes. So, yeah, great. I'm just
really demonstrating our rugby knowledge for the last 2 minutes.
Wow.
Kobus Visa, his brother's with... I didn't know that.
I assume they were, but I assume the Carreras boys...
He's the younger brother of Jasper Visa.
Yeah. Well, do you know what...
I assume the Carreras brothers, Carreras boys...
But they're not.
They're not brothers.
Yeah.
Nope. The Newcastle and
both
Gloucester
wingers,
ones.
Both Argentinian wingers playing in the Premiership.
Well, one of them plays 10 for Argentina, but plays on the wing.
And nobody knows this. No,
neither club seems to know if it's their one that plays 10, because neither, and none of us obviously know, because he's not playing 10 in the Premiership.
Exactly. The other one which blows my mind, right? There is no relation between Jansi van Rensburg and Benhard van Rensburg. Apparently van Rensburg... Hang on. No, it's not just Van... It's Jansi van Rensburg.
Really? Jansi van Rensburg?
I'm sure it is.
Wow.
Yeah, there's quite a few Jansi van Rensburg.
You're going to tell me that JP Dupree and Jean-Luc Dupree, second rows, the South African second rows, that both play for the Sale, with basically the same names...
And face.
Are not brothers.
No, they are brothers.
JP.
Oh, JP.
And
no,
JL.
They are not.
JP and JL Dupree are not brothers.
No, they are not.
Ludicrous.
Although JP and... Oh, it doesn't matter.
JP and Rob.
I'm there's some entertainment to be had out of looking at pictures of the...
Other Kobus Visa.
The other Kobus Visa.
He's massive,
firstly,
isn't he?
He's huge.
He was.
Look how high he wears his shorts in that South Africa kit.
Nice. But, that is old school.
You know why he does that? Because he can. No one will tell him not to. You know, it's a feature, not a bug.
But when you look at him now...
He's huge, isn't he?
He's still
he
enormous.
Looks like a he looks like a cartoon.
He does look like a cartoon. He's enormous.
Nice hair.
Cartoon superhero.
His hair is amazing.
That's ridiculous.
An incredible man. And very good pundit, actually.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. I think I communicated with him on Twitter once. I was going to have him on Rugby Dungeon. I seem to remember.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Old school.
Jeez.
Very old school.
Imagine him and...
Oh. Wow.
He's enormous, isn't he?
He's another
still massive. Right.
Yeah.
Games this weekend.
Right. So you think Sale Sharks are the most consequential? When
I've started to think that they can, with the players they're coming back in this 6-week block, they could come out of this Six Nations period with six wins under their belt, or five or six wins under their belt, and be in the top six, looking up at the top four.
You want a hell of a comeback.
With everyone else beating each other all the time.
Yeah.
Well, the next game is is Worcester at home. You would suspect.
5-point win.
Yeah.
Diamond returns.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for that. Saturday at 12. Oh, no. I'm due to be going to, I've just said I'm going to Preston. I'd rather go to... I don't know what I'm going to do now.
Can you do both?
Not really.
It'd be tough.
You get to see Dimes again in the press room. Or whatever.
Or
outside.
Press outside.
Yeah.
The reason I say Wasps-Exeter more consequential, obviously, the way the game panned out, with Wasps scoring first, Exeter then scoring 26 unanswered points, and Wasps then scoring 19 unanswered points, including the winning try in the 83rd or 84th minute, means that Wasps actually leapfrog Exeter. Wasps, who have not been having a particularly good season.
Amazing, isn't it?
With some incredible results, but also some fairly poor results throughout the season. To be in sixth place is quite remarkable, actually.
They are so good at sort of managing the loss of their talent, which sounds like a damning with faint praise, but it seems every year they've just dealt hammer blow after hammer blow of people leaving. This year it's no different. Fafita's going to go. He's excellent.
Fekitoa's
going to go.
Fekitoa's is that confirmed yet? He's going to Munster.
Yeah, Munster.
I think it is confirmed.
But I think they will somehow sign replace. Oh, yeah, Gopeth. Well,
yeah.
It seems every year like they're just losing lads. But I do think that they'll be able to recruit well enough to make this hurt less. They seem to be very, very good at that, actually, whether it be Dan Frost or whoever else it is that they pick up from the Championship or sign wisely from overseas.
Yeah. Tom Cruise, Robin Hislop.
There's loads of them. Who's the outside? You know, both of the scrum halves behind... What was
the flanker they got from Rotherham that ended up having to retire due to injury?
Wait for it.
Sam Jones.
Sam Jones came through their academy.
Did he? But he also... He used the England training center, the judo.
Yeah.
Sam Jones. He went to Tigers. And then Isha. Not Isha. I'm having a nightmare.
No, you're thinking of Guy Thompson.
Guy Thompson, yeah. Because he came from the Championship.
Yeah. And then went back to the Championship. And he's at Jersey now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Still going strong.
He was at Ealing for a little bit.
Ealing,
wasn't he?
That's the one.
Who's the one? There's one of Alex Reed.
Alex Reeder.
Yeah. There you go. They'll just go and find another Alex Reeder.
Yeah.
They're remarkably good at spending what little money that they have.
Although in the last couple of seasons, there's been a couple of misses as well. Sopwanga.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Right.
So when they do spend big money, they sometimes do get it wrong. Well, Tamono Allen would be another one.
Tamono Allen. Yeah, although I think he's
proved himself now.
Yeah, I think he took a while
to
bed in.
Is he not on his way out?
He may well be.
He
took a while to bed in.
He's been excellent.
But some of the talent they had, like Willie LaRue, Sir Charles Piatow, Curtly Beale.
Yeah.
They were three class
Sippers back in the day, Eastman back in the day.
Yeah.
They've really gone through it.
They've had some interesting and generally very positive appointments alongside all the talent they've got from the Championship.
I think Vincent Cotton next year might be the best signing in the league.
It's a great signing.
Isn't it just?
Let me just mention the Championship, actually, seeing as you just brought it up.
A
significant few fixtures, actually, this weekend at the top of the table. And well, mainly that wonderful team. Jersey Reds got a 5-point win, so they keep up the chase. But the significant result, and Ealing Trailfinders got a 5-point win as well to stay top and clear, because Cornish Pirates were held to a draw at Richmond. Wonderfully coached team, 24 all.
Sensationally coached team.
And who scored Richmond's third and decisive try?
It's got to be Mark Bright.
Mark Bright.
Did he?
Of course it's Mark Bright. Of course it is.
So apparently Mark Bright has got a picture of some haggard old man somewhere. This is according to my sources. Do you know Mark Bright played? Oh, obviously you'd know what he played in New Zealand because I think he is from.
He's Kiwi.
But yeah, apparently he's got a picture of a haggard old man somewhere, which he uses as inspiration to go out and work out. Which I quite like that little detail.
Ridiculous.
That is actually ridiculous.
That is.
Actually, before we get into Premiership rugby, kudos to you and Dougie from All Over Podcast and everyone else involved. Great production for the Chinna RAF game on Wednesday night.
I did enjoy it.
I thought it was absolutely quality. And I tell you what else it's done more broadly because of the build up to this game you've been talking about. It's made me really look into Forces rugby, and I'm falling in love with this a little bit. I think it's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, just to explain, if you're not aware what JB's talking about, there was a test run of something, and you rightly mentioned Dougie from the Mall Over podcast. Those are top lads. And hopefully it's the start of much more. And hopefully, you two boys can be knocking around at the next game or communicating via satellite link up or whatever it may be. But, you know, this is just the launch pad and the start. But on our YouTube channel, which is Egg Chasers on YouTube, a game was broadcast of, as you say, the RAF's first warm-up game ahead of the inter-services competition, which happens through, I think, March and April. And big, significant games for those sides, which are at a very good level. And they played against Chinna. We broadcast the game. It was a professional setup, testing some systems and equipment. So there were likely to be mistakes. But on the whole, I think I agree with you. It was a huge success. Lots of the lessons were learned. And you can go and watch it on our YouTube channel now.
Perfect.
Here's to more.
Exactly right. So let's talk about what the RAF are up to. So the RAF, in fact, all the forces, I think this is why I quite like it, they're all building towards putting an actual service team together. So the RAF's team is warming up. This week, the Royal Artillery beat the Engineers. The Engineers are coached by a player that you used to play with, Tim, ex-Army captain, not rank, but the rugby captain, Daryl Ball,
yep,
is the coach of the Engineers. Meanwhile, did the Marines play again? I'm not sure they did, actually. Someone else played for the Navy, but they're all sort of going through all the different departments trying to work out their teams. And as I was sort of working out who did what, here is a tournament for you which will blow your mind. So the Royal Marines have a tournament called the Albion Bowl. So this starts on Monday, and there's four different Marine teams. So you know whatever they are, like 4-2. I'm not sure what the other one is. There's a training centre, and there is the it's like a Barbarians team for anyone else who wants to play who can't. So they start on Monday. It's a round robin. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They play every day of the week. Then take a day off on Friday, and on Saturday they have the final in Sandy Park. How cool is that?
That is really awesome. Cool.
Albion Bowl. I mean, that sounds like a game someone wants to... I mean, I'm not sure if I want to be caught up in that crowd of 600 Marines in Sandy Park getting leathered. But, you know... And also, you've got to remember, Exeter have one hell of a history with the Royal Marines as well because of where they're based. The other one, apparently, which is great fun, is Paras versus Marines, which I've been informed is a great match. But what you start to realise, I might have mentioned this the other day, there are certain branches of the armed services or, you know, certain regiments or whatnot, and you assume that they would clean up. Like, you would assume, wouldn't you, that the Royal Marines would be the best rugby team in the Navy. I mean, they might be, I don't know. But, of course, if you are a Royal Marine, it's unlikely you'd have passed selection if you're built like a prop, or indeed a large second row. So where do they get their second rows and props from? Well, people like weapons loaders, because all they're doing is, you know, bench-pressing bombs all day. So, yeah, it's quite interesting seeing where all these different people come from. And you can obviously see why the Army... we're probably going to be heavy favourites.
Yeah, that's true. I've got to say, just, I mean, you chat to guys in the RAF regularly, and not least on your Pilot Episodes podcast.
Exactly.
Fine, upstanding gentlemen that they are. But to a man, what I loved is they just got it, and they let us have total access and were completely open and just let us have in their huddle to hear all the chat they were saying in the dressing room at half time. And they it wasn't just yes, you can have a camera in the dressing room. It was just if you want to listen to our team talk, go for it. It was really, really cool. Good guys.
And you had Josh McNally there.
Josh McNally, yeah.
Something you said to Josh McNally, I'd be interested to see if you really think this. Think he's close to an England call up? He can't be far off, can he?
Well, I when I was knew that he would be coming down to watch the game and I'd have a chat to him, I did think, how did we not mention him as a potential tight end lock? Because he is... I think he might feel hard done by that Nick Ezekwe. Yeah, thoroughly good guy.
Excellent. Right, so now we can get into the rugby.
Yeah.
Sale Sharks. Awesome. Awesome win. I mean, let's be honest, that Harlequins team wasn't exactly what Harlequins would like to play Sale Sharks with, but a win at the Stoop is still a win at the Stoop.
They battered them.
Yeah.
It wasn't really close, was it?
They were the better team right throughout the game.
And they had that lovely balance of the raw power of a load of meathead South Africans, and they got the kids in.
You know, there's
Reed Roebuck Quirk in the back line.
Yeah, you know, Reed, we spoke about last week. I do like Roebuck. I mean,
Roebuck,
100 kilograms, 6'2", speedy, powerful. This is what I'm talking about.
First finish was great. Second finish was even better.
Yeah. Mm. I do feel that Sale have been fairly stale with the back three play, because they don't have an electric fullback. They have Hammersley, who I like, who do basic fullback stuff well.
Love Byron, obviously.
Obviously, I love Byron.
Incredible defensive.
But getting, yeah, obviously, he's approaching 30.
And they're all the back three players that we need to talk about.
And of course, there's Yordi, right, who is also getting on in age, and he's definitely not the player he was in his Harlequins days, or was in the Irish days. So you are lacking a bit of a cutting edge. Roebuck's come in, okay, lightest kid. Byron has still got a lot to offer. The fullback position can stay a little bit safe, whether that be... But I do think that
Luke James
can beat the first defender all the time.
He's playing some nice rugby, yeah, and he's got good set of hands.
How did I not say Luke James? You've got four local kids in the back line.
Get the kids in.
That's what I always say. Yeah. Get the kids in.
And then there's Reed, who I'm not sold on yet, but I think... You know, he just needs to get more
games.
He's
had a lot of injuries.
Yeah, and he'll get the game time, so that's absolutely fine. I am still, for the life of me, baffled by the Rob Dupree selection at 13. I mean, you know more about rugby than me. Can someone tell me what's going on?
I can't work it out. He finished the try nicely with a little faff chip over the top. He also, there was a moment in the first half, I think it might have been shortly after the Quirk break and offload, where there was a 3-on-2 or a 4-on-3 down the left-hand side, and he did miss two straight to the winger, which just allowed all of the three defenders just to drift and smash Reed on the left wing.
It was remarkable, really.
It appears to have defensive frailties.
Appears would be a kind way to put it.
However, he keeps getting picked, so it's clearly something that our untrained eyes don't see or don't know.
Precisely.
Well, I asked Anderson about this last week, and he says... Look, we see it in training. We just, you know, he likes him. So that'll be that. I just can't get it. I just don't get it. Sam James was, I think he's captain aside. He's certainly been vice captain a lot of times. He stepped the fly half. He's a cracking player. I mean, I wonder if he's on his way out.
Maybe.
God, I hope not. I can't see that being a thing, though. Sale need anyway, doesn't matter. I would like to see more Sam James and a little less Rob Dupree in the 13 shirt.
In any shirts?
I would never say that. That would be disrespectful.
Manu's back.
Yeah, not for 20 minutes.
And
looked destructive when he was there.
A very nice hit on Esterhazen. Not a lot else, but he's back.
Yeah, I mean...
Which is sometimes not a good thing, because it gets your hopes up.
It does, doesn't it?
Get him walking up the hills, he'll be fine.
Just don't know. What do you do with him? Like, it's hot...
Keep him out of the gym so he doesn't get too massive.
Yeah, play him once every blue moon.
Don't let him do battle ropes so he puts on half a kg on his arms.
England could have done with a bit of go forward in the back line this weekend.
I've just got this horrible feeling that Sale will get him fit. England will pick him for the last two games of Six Nations, or last game of Six Nations, and then he gets hurt. That's how I see it going.
Injured in the last game of the Six Nations.
Yeah, and then he's out for another 8 months. Or even worse, does Sale get reliant on him being absolutely dominant and then he gets hurt? Just before playoffs or something like that.
Yeah.
He gets them to playoffs and then gets hurt.
Well, just looking, they're 9 points off the playoffs.
10, isn't it? Oh, it doesn't matter. It's two wins.
They're on 34 and Quinn's in fourth are on 43.
34 and 43, correct. Nine points.
So 9 points is doable.
It is doable, but I don't see those... I mean, I think those top teams... Let's just talk about the top four.
2 weeks ago, before they played Leicester and Quinns, you were thinking, but they've taken 10 points from those games.
So the top two teams, the top two are locked in, I think, which is Leicester in first and Saracens in second.
And it is one giant bun fight. Everyone down to Sale, who are in, what, eighth or ninth?
Sale
ninth.
Currently in ninth, yeah.
Everyone down to ninth is thinking we can get top four.
Yeah,
Why do you think the top two are nailed on and not the top three?
I think Gloucester probably are.
Yeah, I think they're nailed on. I really do.
It's just I think they've been brilliant this year. I'm still surprised that they've been as brilliant as they have been.
Yeah.
But I'm watching it every week and they've been brilliant every week. And they're doing it from a place of really, really solid foundations.
I love basic rugby. They're basic nuts and bolts rugby.
Their driving maul again was causing all sorts of problems as a driving maul itself as an attacking weapon. But then, like, the Ollie Thorley try came because there was room outside because of the threat of the driving maul.
Just the psychological stress it puts you under. Because Irish actually dealt with the maul brilliantly. There was no issues with how they dealt with the maul. I think maybe the first try was a result of a maul. That maybe two of them were. But they stopped the actual maul. But it just keeps you thinking all the time. You're always worried about giving away penalties. You're always worried when they kick into the corners. And their defence is good. Really good. So, yeah, you say top two. I'd say top three. But then I think Harlequins are too good not to finish in that top fourth position.
Yeah. Harlequins, when they get their England boys back, when Dombrand and Marler and Smith and Marchant are all back, they'll be fine. But then if we say that, if we say the top four are nailed, well, then what's everyone else bothering about? Because no one, if the top four are nailed, no one else is getting into the top four. It doesn't feel like no one else will get into the top four.
And I am
now, actually.
Quins are away to Saracens next weekend. They are then home to Wasps, away to Worcester, home to Newcastle. So, yeah, they're going to pick up some wins. This is all during the Six Nations period, and then away to Bristol. So, actually, they could get through the Six Nations period all right, and then everyone's back, and they've got Irish away, Sale at home. Oh, no, that's Premiership Rugby Cup.
Oh, no, when's that?
End of March. Then they've got Irish away, then they're into Europe, and then they've got Leicester at home and Northampton away. So they need, like, without their England players, I'm going to say they have to win some of these games.
Yeah.
Several of these games, because their running is really tough.
So Sale's next two home games.
Gloucester away at the end of May.
If we look at the teams, if we go down in order and give a little, a medium bit, or a big bit on how affected these teams are by internationals. Starting with Leicester.
Not much.
A little to a medium.
Yeah.
So Ford and Genge.
Stewart Genge.
Yeah. Stewart, I think they can replace broadly. Ford for Billy Burton. Freddie Burns is good. Genge, he's unique in what he does, but he's replaceable. So, yeah, low end of little.
Yeah.
Saracens?
Not that much anymore.
So they've still got talent playing for England, but they've got talent and they've got systems. So little to medium.
Moderate.
Gloucester?
Fine.
Little.
Yeah. Quins?
Decimated.
Significant,
yes. Northampton? Missing bigger. Missing Courts. Missing Ludlam.
Yeah, that is big. That is big for them because they're the best players.
And Ludlam at the minute, their captain.
Yeah. So yeah, upper end of medium, I think. Wasps?
Not really.
Not much.
Not much. I can see Launchbury getting a call-up. I can see Barbary getting a call-up. But they've been playing out without those boys for half the time anyway. Chiefs.
Significant.
Devastated.
Yeah.
Quins and Chiefs.
Quins and Chiefs. London Irish, not at all.
Not at all.
Sale, other than Tom Curry, but they've got one spare.
Yeah.
And then we're out because Bristol in 10th. They're 8 points behind Sale. I think even with the best will in the world, Bristol will struggle to compete with that 8-point deficit to Sale, and then it's a 17-point deficit.
Yeah, that's not happening.
That's too much.
That's not happening.
So that's, and this, Quins and Exeter are the most affected.
I think Quins are vulnerable.
Yeah, I think so.
Not making that fourth place.
Do you know what might really be the problem with this? Actually, it's not so much that they're just vulnerable to lose these games, but that mindset goes, that, you know, winning mentality and all the habits.
Well, they were in a worse place at this time last year.
Were they? What, like, yeah. Points-wise?
Well, as in they were outside the top four.
They were outside the top four, and they were just starting their run under new leadership.
But, crucially, Marcus Smith and Dom Brandt
exactly
weren't playing for England.
Correct.
Yeah, they just...
So, yeah, I'd rather be in their position last year than this year.
Yeah, in this game, they just felt a little bit underpowered. You know, particularly back row-wise. I like Luke Wallace, perfectly reasonable player, as is Archie White. I thought Archie White played wonderfully start of this year, back end of last year, in the back row with, well, what's your boy?
Will Evans.
Mm. Who's also, he must be not far back.
You'd hope so.
You know, Will Evans, Dom Brandt. So, yeah, a good player, but when you add them all together, and I really like Taulani. I think he's a good operator.
He's a big, strong boy.
But then you add them all together, it's just a bit of a mix. They're not a settled unit.
Yes. There's a lot of disruption and like props being missing. Philco Lowe and Will Collier, whose scrimmaging has been so good.
Yeah.
Obviously, Joe Marler out the mix as well. It's a lot of disruption.
In a team which got absolutely battered today, I really enjoyed some of Caden Murley's feet.
Caden Murley, I think he's still a very solid player, but he's showing a lot more attacking threat than this season than he has done for the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think he's quietly put himself into, you know, not maybe international contention, but still, they must be looking at him. If they're looking at Lewis Liner, they must be looking at Caden Murley.
ESB. If you had to compare him to another player, Jack Knoll might be a reasonable comparison.
5'10", mid-90s, kg, something like that.
BSB.
I think Knoll slightly more explosive off the line. But, yeah, I can see that comparison, definitely.
Mm. But Sale looking good.
So, good win for Sale. Solid win for Gloucester.
Yeah.
No, it was a great win for Gloucester.
I think they'll be disappointed not to get the bonus point.
Did they not get it?
Three tries.
Okay.
It was nice to see friend of the pod and Phil standing, Jamal Ford Robinson getting some love in the pre-game build-up.
Yeah, enjoyed that.
By the way, George... they had the Georgie Kovaleviladsky, or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
He had a tough game. A real tough game. So I think it was his first Premiership start.
First start, yeah.
I mean, he did well in at spots, and I think he'll get a lot better. But my word, it was difficult for him. And I think playing Irish as well, it doesn't get much harder than that because they are very good out wide.
Yeah, and they shut Irish out.
They did, yeah.
Not many teams keep Irish to 7 points.
Mm.
Yeah, very good point.
If these playoffs were played today, with this top four, I think Gloucester would win it.
They've got closest to the full squad, haven't they?
Yeah. Well, I know, everyone gets a full squad. But that's a lie.
I think if everyone's Saracen. Got their full squad... Oh, God,
Saracen
it's tough.
For two games, actually.
Yeah. If everyone's got full squad, including injuries, so Saracen get Farrell back, as well as Atoji and Jamie George.
But then you got LRZ and Harris back in as well.
Harris will make probably a bigger difference
than Atkinson.
LRZ. Yeah, Atkinson.
You're right.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, they're good.
Maybe a stacked Saracens over two games are still the favourites to win this.
Mm. And Leicester have been the team to beat this year.
Yeah, so even Borthwick, though, says he was lucky to get one over on Saracens when they came to Welford Road.
I tend to agree with.
So, you know, there is that. But Saracens lost at home to Gloucester. He's one of their few lost. I don't know. But, yeah, actually, I'm going to stick with what I said to start with. If it came down to it and they played today, I think Gloucester would win the Premiership playoffs. Start of today. We'll see how it develops.
I mean, bearing in mind, so what you're saying is...
This
could very well be Gloucester's year.
This could be Gloucester's
2022.
Year. Imagine if it is. I'd love to see him win. I would love it.
It would be not dissimilar. I mean, obviously, it's slightly different in the way that it's organised and the lack of chaos, but it would not be dissimilar in the incredible turnaround that Quinn's had last season. I know it would be over the length of a whole season, but it would be of those proportions from where Gloucester have come to and where they are potentially heading.
Very similar story. Like, even down to the coaches, they've got this inexperienced coaching team. And this is what gets me. The inexperienced coaching team have proven to be an absolute gem. And it's not just one inexperienced coach. It's the whole group of them. You know, Don Waldock, who would have... how many names would I have had to have gone through before I got to Don Waldock as defence coach?
Defence coach for Gloucester.
Allegedly, he's brilliant.
But it's...
at him, they're shutting out teams.
Yeah, and it's not just that. It is the whole setup. So they were in Hartbury where... It didn't feel like it was their own home and you couldn't have coffee with the boys that easily. You're out in the middle of nowhere. Whereas now they're in town at King's home, training ground right there.
Yeah.
New pitch that suits the way they play.
The outdoor pitch that they can train on exactly. And the indoor facilities.
And the indoor facility.
To it.
They have the fans.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
In for training once a month. They're connected with the city again. It's just there's a lot that is coming together. A lot of the jigsaw pieces are all fitting.
But maybe... I think they could win it. I don't think they will win it this year. So I think maybe next year could be Gloucester's
year. Next year is Gloucester's year.
Yeah, you're right. It is next year.
Yeah. A few more bits to the jigsaw. Bit more experience next year.
Have they announced any signings yet for next year?
If they have, I've forgotten. There's certainly no one noticeable.
No, I can't think of anyone. Interesting.
There were two very predictable games this week. In Leicester Tigers at home to Worcester Warriors.
What, you didn't? Yeah. Sorry, can I just be clear? You didn't think Bath were going to continue their winning streak?
Unbeaten in 2022 had to come to an end at some point.
It did, didn't it? Can't believe it.
I think basically what we're learning is Leicester and Bath cannot win in the same weekend. Because Leicester lost two when Bath won two, and now it's normal order has returned.
Yes. And the Saracens game, from what I saw of it, was entirely predictable. A pounding from the forwards that opened the space for the likes of Maitland and Goode to exploit towards the end of the game.
So tell me if I'm being unfair here, right? I did my picks for the weekend. The only one I got wrong was Bristol. And I'm just looking at who is playing for Bath. And I thought, you know, man for man, they match up fairly well. But how do you win games when so many of your squad have been signed mid-season? So... Darcy Ray was a mid-season signing. That just reeks of desperation. I mean, not that you have to be desperate to play Darcy Ray. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, you need to be planning these things out and having the guys in pre-season camp and all the rest. Very rarely should you bring in a mid-season player. So Darcy Ray would be one. Nathan Hughes would be the other one. Morozov is another one. Joe Simpson, another one. Tom
Joe
Pryde,
Simpson, who was...
Another one.
At Saracens
earlier
this year for a brief period.
You cannot win a Premiership game.
Was he Saracens and Bath and Gloucester all in the same season?
Or it might be...
Gloucester,
might
Saracens,
be and
Bath.
Ealing Trailfinders.
And
he's a Gloucester player, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he was on loan to some or all of those clubs.
He seems a little bit too good to be just... knocking about all these clubs. I don't know what's going on there. It'd be interesting to find out. So I just don't think you can win any games, actually, when you're...
They did last week.
And Cam Redpath is another mid-season signing.
Last season,
yeah.
Or 2 seasons ago.
They did... Well,
I can't remember.
They did win last weekend, but this was this was an utter beatdown.
Yes. Yeah. Too many kids. You never win anything with kids. Like we all always say.
As we always say. Always
all
say
of
that.
Us always say that all of the time.
Yeah.
Did either of you see Ulster?
No, tell me about your pride, Ulster man.
The two boys who were dropped from the Ireland squad, Mike Lowry and Balakoon, just looked quality. You can see they've got the bit between their teeth and it will be fighting for those Irish places, which is brilliant for Ireland because you've got competition across the board.
Mm.
But very, very nice win.
Who did you play?
Connacht. Tough team. Very good team. Don't lose many players.
Good squad out?
Decent. McCloskey back.
That is good.
Like
him.
Which is good. Balakoon and Mike Lowry coming back. Obviously, Dwayne Vermaelen playing and leading and looking excellent.
On McCloskey, right? His Ireland dream is over, isn't it?
Probably. But right. He's probably about 4 or 5 years younger than Bundiaki. So
is he? How old is he?
I'm guessing here. I'd say Bundiaki's 32.
Yeah.
McCloskey 28.
Okay, so he is, yeah, he's getting up there in age. He needs to get his, in my mind, he needs to be a regular starter now.
Yeah, maybe. He's 29, McCloskey.
No, it's fine. He's
get to the Premiership.
He's an excellent player. Yeah, he should probably go and get some Premiership cash.
Exactly.
Ulster. Stick with Ulster.
Well, they're doing they're top of the URC, albeit other teams below them have played fewer games, but they're nonetheless top with 7 wins from 10. The top 14 table in France, have you seen that?
No idea.
Quite interesting what's going on there.
Why? What is going on?
Top is Bordeaux and Montpellier and Lyon and Cast. Toulouse are at 5th, but Toulouse and Racing 92 are 5th, 6th. But then Toulon are bottom.
What?
Clermont are mid-table looking over their shoulder. Which is interesting.
Toulon are bottom,
Bit of a shake-up going on.
Yeah.
In French domestic rugby.
Toulon getting relegated would be...
delightful.
Interesting, yes.
Well, they've got the world record signing.
Colby?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Jesus.
Is he even playing at the moment?
I don't know what goes on in France. I wish I had more time to dedicate to the top four, because I think I'd love it. I really do. But...
I walked past a bar on Tuesday or Wednesday night. Tuesday night. And a bar near where I was staying down in London... was showing top 14 highlights.
Really?
At like 9 p.m. on... I was so close to going in, but I was determined not to have a drink midweek. So I was like, oh, I can't go in and order a Diet Coke. No, I'll just go and be miserable and go to bed.
Well, so here's my question, right? I'll give you an example. Montpellier. They own André Pollard, who is going to be one of the highest paid players, I imagine, in the world, if he's not already one of the highest paid players.
Well, he's earning his corn this year.
Yes.
Is their second.
But he's not, because he's not playing. And when he does play, he plays at 12.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I kind of raised this issue.
Team.
I was like, hang on, Leicester have just bought this guy who doesn't tend to play very much for Montpellier. Now, that might have changed, but certainly in the European competition, he was available, ready to play, and he didn't even make the bench.
Yeah, he might be injured, but he didn't play this week.
So they,
he wasn't even available until December.
Oh, yeah. Right. Fair enough.
So, you know, I wonder if Leicester are going to rue this decision of buying this guy. Because if he's doing rugby championship and whatnot, well, that goes on forever, from what I can tell. So they won't see him until, well, same like you said then.
Yeah, pretty much December. You might get a couple of games out of him before December.
Then South Africa will tour the Northern Hemisphere. So you don't see him then.
Yeah, that'll take him from... So, Rugby Championship, which there's a couple of down weeks. Then you have Autumn Internationals, which finish kind of last week in November. So then you get him for European Cup.
Yeah.
So into European Cup. But then you don't lose him, crucially, during the Six Nations.
I guess so.
So you kind of lose the first 6 or 8 weeks of the season. But then you've, in theory, got him for the rest of the season, including
playoffs.
Here's
a question for you. In Toulon... who are bottom of the table, in their defeat at home to Cast, 10 points to 22, they went down at home. Who started tight head prop for Toulon?
I know who it is. because he's there.
Kieran Brooks.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
How did you think of that one?
Who's looking at coming back to the Prem?
Is he?
Yeah. Oh, well, he doesn't want to play in the second division in France, does he?
Why not? You get some good cash there.
Yeah, you do get very good cash there.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, too long ago, that would be incredible.
It really would be. After, what, 5-6 years ago, 3 back-to-back-to-back.
Wait, who owns the club now? Because obviously it's not Bougelad.
It's not Bougelad. I don't know.
They must have some money if they're going out and buying Colby.
Chesney Colby, who played 15 this week.
Oh, dear. Dear. Mm. Oh, they can go back and get Ashton again. Ashton carved it up at too long. Might not be a bad option for everyone.
He is getting on now.
He's training at Leicester.
Yeah, I did see that.
Which is interesting.
So what? In the Bristol game, they carved it up against Newcastle. One of their Morahan, that try was awesome.
Was that the Pierce O'Connor break?
Rich running from inside their 22, turnover ball. It wasn't a Piers O'Connor break, it was kind of a team break. He played a part.
Urine tries Piers O'Connor break.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, and then they just wanged it from coast to coast, and Morahan just gassed it.
I'm so annoyed at this result. So, this is the only result I didn't get, which obviously upsets me. And I just looked through the teams. I'm thinking, yeah, I like the Newcastle pack. They're well drilled. We talk about them all the time. Actually, I can throw that in the bin now. They've only won 4 games, so I'm over it.
And they did this last year. They started really well and then just went on an almighty losing streak that plummeted them down the table, and you think it might happen again.
Bristol Bears started the game with Tom Whiteley at 10, who's actually 9.
Mm.
Is he ex-Saracens? I believe he is, isn't he? So, I'm like, there's no way you win a Premiership game with a 9 at 10. It's just not a thing that happens. But then Andy Uren gets injured. He moves up into the 9, down to the 9 shirt. The magnificent Tiff Eden comes on, and away they go.
Quite enjoyed Tiff Eden for a bit. Was it last year or the year before where he had a stint playing 10? So he played some nice stuff.
He did, didn't he? So Tiff Eden played 10. Did Sam Bedloe play 10 for them for a little while?
He might have had one game at 10.
I think Tiff Eden might have got a yellow card or a red card or got injured or something. Sam Bedloe definitely scored the winning points in a game with a kick.
Yeah, that was at the live Friday night match.
Yeah, but I can't remember who that was against.
I did quite like... did it lead up to a try or a penalty? I quite like Luke Pearce yellow carding both of the Bristol second rows, Atwood and then Joe Joyce, within a 2-minute period of one another.
It was within a minute. Both 40 minutes.
Brilliant.
On the clock. Yeah.
Both defending their own line. Yeah. Right, you're going, and you're going to...
And Mike Brown went on the same phase, did he not?
Was that not after half-time? Was that not before half-time and after half-time?
Yes. Yes, it was.
I don't know.
So, the first half, Bristol were awesome. If I was a Bristol fan, that would be one of the most fun halves of rugby to watch. They just... ripped them to shreds.
More of that, please.
28-14 at half time, and then both teams added 7 points.
Because
9 points.
It was after 28 minutes, Bristol had scored 28 points, so they're obviously on to.
Disappointed they didn't win 80-0.
On for 80, yeah. Well, Newcastle had also scored 7 points at that time.
80 points to.
Well, you're going to have to. Let's just say we triple it.
17.
Yeah, or whatever. 21. 80, so a 100-point game you were on for, roughly.
They let us down.
Massively, massive let down.
Only 58 points.
5 tries in the first 28 minutes is ridiculous.
Mm.
So.
My £7, which I started the season with, is now down to £3.10 because of that.
Because of this one fixture. Result.
There you go. The house always wins. Unless a betting company sponsors us, and then...
Then we win.
And you win because you... No,
yes.
Yes, and you.
Everyone won in that situation.
Everyone wins. Hey, actually, before we go on, let's just talk about plans for the end of March.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Final round of the Six Nations. Oh, we haven't talked about that email you were talking about as well.
Oh, yeah, read it.
Well, let's talk about plans for the end of March.
Yeah, plans for the end of March.
19th of March.
Round 6 of the Six Nations, the final round of games. Is that right? Or the fifth round of games?
Yeah, final round of games.
Round of games.
Which is the fifth round of games.
Looks like going to be in Lisbon.
Yes, we're going to go and
support Tier 2 Rugby in Portugal, one of the rugby nations that hasn't received the love and attention it deserves, because at sevens level they've been doing really, really well, and now at 15s they're starting to really make some waves.
Well, did you see the result this weekend?
No.
They travelled to Tbilisi to play Georgia.
Oh dear.
And got a 25-all draw.
Did they?
That is outstanding.
I know nothing apart from that fact, but I am going to go and watch the highlights of that game because that sounds intriguing.
Good God.
Not many teams, full stop, go to Tbilisi and get a result.
Wow, that's amazing.
Mm.
And is it right that in this rugby championship, World Cup spots will be finalised? It's over a two-year period, so I think Portugal aren't in the running for that, are they?
So, yeah, there are definitely World Cup spots available. It's the mechanics of some of these World Cup qualifications are so complicated that you'd have to spend hours to understand them, which I've not yet done, but I definitely will do ahead of actually landing in Lisbon.
Well, what we do know is in Lisbon, Portugal are going to be playing Russia in the final round of their Rugby Europe Championship game on the weekend of the final round of Six Nations games, and we will be in Lisbon. We will be finding some spot. What's the Negroni equivalent in Portugal?
Vinho verde is a very nice Portuguese drink. It's a very, very light white wine that is lightly sparkling. Very lightly sparkling.
Very young grapes, is it not?
Yeah, incredibly fresh.
Yeah, it is nice.
Really nice.
I do enjoy it.
Very easy drinking.
I've never been to Portugal.
I have been once, and it was like hell on earth. I went to, where the hell was it?
Sell it.
It sounds amazing.
Come join us.
Yeah, it was the Algarve.
I've only been to the Algarve.
When did you go?
About 5 or 6 years ago.
For what reason?
Just a holiday.
Okay, so I went to the Algarve, right? Do you go to all the resorts, the golfing resorts?
No, none of the golfing resorts, but a few of the little seaside towns with the little marinas and nice restaurants.
I imagine I would like that. So I went for a friend of mine's 30th, and the actual event itself was awesome. It was amazing. But we stayed in this golf resort, and it was like, it was hell. Like, it was just golfers and cyclists everywhere. And, like, you get to the beach, there's, like, a little beachfront, and you went in there on a Sunday, and it's just middle-aged, nothing wrong with middle-aged men, of course, but middle-aged men.
Present company.
Yeah.
Considered.
Like, you know, men in their 50s, who, you know, with entry-level Rolexes, singing Sweet Caroline on a Saturday. It was just golfers, the golfing crowd, basically. It was awful. Golfing and cycling crowd, can you imagine?
I don't think we'll get too much of that in Lisbon.
No.
What I like is about the algorithm on my phone is I just typed in Lisbon in Google, and the autocomplete top answer was Lisbon Rugby Club.
Ah.
Nice.
But when I tap on that, it's cool. The names are cool. Club de Rugby São Miguel Bulldogs Rugby Field.
Oh, lovely.
Nice.
And then the first review of that is every place of this club are clean.
Wow. That's quite something.
Club de Rugby do Técnico. Agronomia Rugby, Benfica Rugby Club.
Wow.
Okay, Benfica is one of the most ancient. Just wondering if we can get a game on the. Oh no, we'll be watching Portugal on the Saturday, and we won't want a game on the Sunday.
No chance.
I could be tempted.
No game on the Sunday. Oops. Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see. But yes, we will definitely be in Portugal.
I have already made a comprehensive map of rooftop bars.
Yes,
in Portugal.
And what's food markets.
What's the ground?
And food markets.
What's the ground that the national team
it, well, so we've got it listed here as the Estadio Nacional, also known as the National Stadium Sports Complex, which looks, let's have a look, 40,000, well, near enough, 38,000 seat stadium.
No way.
Way. According to Wikipedia.
They're not gonna fill that thing.
It is a little bit outside. So it looks like a short.
Is it on the
Benfica play at the University Stadium? They should go and play there.
Mm.
Interesting. So yeah, I've got a map of all the best cocktail bars in Lisbon now. I've got all the rooftop bars keyed into my phone.
Nice.
And on a Google map, and now I'm just adding all the food markets.
Yes,
and then we'll spend the whole weekend in an Irish bar.
Perfect.
Perfect. Excellent.
Right. Fixtures next week?
Yes, go for it.
Oh, the Worcester game, what happened there?
They got smashed.
Yes.
They got smashed.
A combination of some nice hands out wide and through the middle. Samaki, Freddie Burns scored nice tries. And a lot of power from Leicester. The end.
Steve Diamond just needs a little bit more time to get his...
It'll come. Don't you worry about that.
It'll come.
Can I just say one thing on the recruitment of Samaki? I tell you what, this guy's awesome.
He is a big, strong boy.
Awesome. He's going to be an absolute star. I don't think we've seen the best of him yet.
He's rapid. He's in brilliant shape.
Isn't he? Yeah. And that's it. And apparently that is his thing. It's his work ethic off the field. He loves to work out.
Nice. Who doesn't?
Well, there are a few. I mean, we won't shame them now, but there are a few.
I just need to look at the one player. Portugal's heaviest man is...
Portugal's heaviest man?
No, heaviest rugby player. Jeffrey Moyes. Moyes, rugby union player. I need to see him.
Why have you... Sorry.
Ooh, not all good weight.
Well, it looks like you could go put it into low diff and scrimmage.
So, a lot of axial loading going on there. Big boy, big strong boy.
How heavy? What's his
130 kgs?
Okay, so like it's pants. Like a lightweight French lock then.
Yeah. Diet French lock.
Yeah. Right. Premiership fixtures next weekend. Yep. Friday night, we've got Bristol hosting London Irish. I think that would be a good game.
I think that would be a really good game.
Give me Irish.
Give me Bristol.
I'm going to go Bristol at home.
Then Leicester, Northampton Saints.
Leicester.
Yeah.
That's a tasty game.
Saturday, Chiefs. This will be a tasty game. Chiefs host Gloucester.
Gloucester.
I'm going Gloucester. Chiefs have to win this if they want a shot at the playoffs. But give me Gloucester.
Well, just on Chiefs, did you notice their team from the weekend?
Yes.
I mean, they've got some proper problems here. They've got two enormous props now. In the guy they got from New Zealand and this Patrick Schickling,
who came from Jersey. Is that right?
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong, he's a good player, but can't scrimmage at all. Yanis Kirstin is a great player, not a second row. David Jenkins is 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen any pictures of David Jenkins?
None especially memorable.
He's a memorable looking boy. There you go.
Okay, yeah.
So
while you do that, I'm going to show you a before and after, because this is remarkable. Back to Jeffrey Moyes, Portugal's tight head prop. Right, okay, so let me show you that picture.
Okay.
Before, right. Yeah.
I'm assuming that might be last season. Now look at...
Nice kit, by the way.
Yeah, it's bald.
That's Narbonne.
Okay. Predator.
Yep. And here we go.
Oh, fair play to the lad.
Awesome.
That is
good work.
That is an incredible transformation. Oh, no, that's a different player.
Who is that?
Looks the same, though.
He did well. He looked close. I was looking more at his rig both times.
Oh, that's Jules Martinez.
Oh.
Anyway,
he's an outside back.
That's Halsey.
Anyway, yeah. Looking forward to seeing Jeffrey Moyes play.
Chiefs are missing a few players at the moment. Really, it's fair to say.
I mean, it's 19-year-old. By the way, David Jenkins is notable because he's even bigger than Christ Chizunda, and they're both Welsh, obviously.
Mm.
He's a big, big boy, but he's 19, and I don't think you're going to be getting the better of either Joe Launchbury or Elliot Stoke or via Fifita.
Fifita, yeah.
Good luck with
that. Or Brad Shields.
Yeah.
Who was also packed down as an international second row.
Tell you what, that's a nasty-looking middle forward of the scrum.
Yeah, with Barbary to ease things up, sitting off the back.
How many games does Launchbury need before Eddie Jones says, right, we'll have him, thank you for getting him back and fit again?
I think he has less than a game's worth of minutes underneath his belt.
Yeah, he played 20 minutes last week and 60 this week, so it might be 80 minutes he's played.
Yeah.
So
in total.
It's going to be a little while, I'd say. But
yeah. Well, he's got two more weeks. So this week's obviously Italy for England. Then there's a rest week. So he could get another, in theory, 160 minutes under his belt.
Yeah.
Which would, at that point, four games.
This sounds ridiculous, right? Because, of course, his sole goal should be playing for Wasps now, shouldn't it? That's what it should be.
18 grand a game.
Yeah, but you've got to get established in Wasps before you go to England.
Yes.
So if he's got a week. Did you say he's got a week off?
No, sorry. England play Italy this weekend, and then England have a week off. So he's got another 2 weeks of performances for Wasps to demonstrate his fitness.
Sorry, I misunderstood you. I thought you said he had a week off, and then I thought, no, he doesn't have a week off. They're playing. I was going to say, if he does have a week off, would it make sense to go on loan to get some more game time?
Okay.
That's where my head is at. But then, no.
No.
Getting injured for Coventry.
Yeah.
Doesn't really make much sense, does it?
Not much. Or, yeah, where else is he going to go on loan?
Well, he'd have to go to Champion, I guess.
Top 14?
Yeah, top 14, in you go.
Right, other fixtures. Tim, did you predict Chiefs versus Gloucester? Cause I'm saying Gloucester, JB's saying Gloucester.
Looking at the Chiefs pack, again, those like Pearson.
Yeah, who?
Yeah.
Grondano, I know he's played at a decent level. And who was
Capstick.
Capstick.
I love Capstick. I think he's a good player, but not on his own.
Excellent. No, yeah, so I'm going to have to say Gloucester.
Yeah. Then we have Sale hosting Worcester. Diamond will be disappointed.
Yeah.
Sadly. Not sadly. I want Sale to win. What am I talking about?
But do you love Sale more or Diamond more?
Sale, of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Then we also have Wasps hosting Bath, home win.
Yeah.
And on Sunday, Saracens host Harlequins. Saracens are affected less by the international call-ups.
I think probably Saracens, yeah.
So
they might even have more international call-ups, but they're affected less, if that makes sense.
So hang on. So with our predictions, what does that mean for the top four then? Means Northampton are losing, Harlequins are losing, Wasps are potentially... Are not playing, are they?
No, Wasps are winning. Wasps host Bath.
Oh, they are winning.
5-point win.
So Wasps will... Well, they won't catch Harlequins, but Sale and Wasps will leapfrog Exeter and Northampton, I imagine.
Wasps are already leapfrogged Exeter.
Exeter go down, Sale Sharks should go above Northampton.
Sale could leapfrog Exeter. Exeter could find themselves in 8th position after this week.
Well, if Wasps could do the decent thing and lose, then Sale go into 5th.
Wasps aren't losing to Bath. No way.
Well, we don't know that, do we? If we knew that, we wouldn't play the game.
We know that one.
Hey, if they show up again with Fafita, Stuke and Launchbury, good luck. Good luck to whoever's playing them over Six Nations and Shields.
We never actually predicted the Six Nations games.
I don't even know who's playing. Who's playing?
So we have Wales, Scotland. We have France, Ireland.
Ooh,
that feels like it could be a tournament decider.
Ooh.
What was the first game? Sorry, you said
Wales host Scotland.
Oh,
which, yeah. I think Scotland will win that.
I think Scotland will win
comfortably.
That.
Yeah,
I don't think comfortably, but they'll win.
I think comfortably.
Wales in Cardiff's a different beast entirely.
Scotland will win by a score. Scotland by 7.
A sober Cardiff? Are you joking? Sober, miserable Cardiff.
Please tell me something stronger than 4.1%.
Please, sir.
Please.
So that happens.
France, Ireland.
Judging by this week, it has to be Ireland, right?
France will be a little bit better. It's in France. I think France are favourites, but... I really, really rate this Ireland team. I think they've got quality right throughout. They've got quality coming off the bench. And they play in such a nice way because they've got such a physical pack. Their tight five is monstrous. They've got an athletic but also a powerful back row.
Oh, Paul, what's his which face? Team? Was it, who was the Wales scrum half brain farted?
What, this week?
This week.
Thomas Williams?
Yeah. When he had to take Furlong. Furlong had a proper run up at him.
Yeah, you don't want to be there, do you? That's not.
Yeah,
I've said this before, but I love it when, by accident or design, the whole of the Leinster front row find themselves on a short side, and they've got the choice of hands or just go forward against like two outside backs.
Yeah.
Pick your poison, boys.
Yeah. Good luck.
Good luck.
I think France are favourites, but
narrow favourites.
Yeah, narrow favourites. This, I think that'll be a brilliant game.
It's not many teams go to Paris and win. Scotland managed it.
Grand Slam decider?
Potentially, yeah. This could be.
I don't think any team will get a Grand Slam, which is why I'm going to say France narrowly on this one. But I think I predicted last week Ireland would win the tournament.
Predicting then?
Last week I said I thought Ireland would win the tournament. I think France will edge it in Paris.
Against... Oh, sorry.
I think France and Ireland will probably both win four games apiece, and I'm just backing Ireland to edge the overall tournament.
I'm going to have France, and I have France to win the tournament.
Mm.
Although I do think Ireland's performance was more impressive than France's performance this weekend.
I agree with that, and I think I said last week, France are my favourites with that Ireland close behind.
And by the way, if anyone's paying attention to that... deductive reasoning. I'm saying that I think Ireland and France will both win four games.
England will beat France.
Ireland have to go to Twickenham.
So,
which is where I'm backing the boys. I'm backing the boys to do it over Ireland in that one.
What about the next game, which is actually? Hang on. It's England, Italy.
Italy, England in Rome.
Couldn't care less. I literally could not care less.
So England need to get back on the horse. They will do.
Watch out.
But.
Yeah. But. Ooh, edgy. Okay, fine. That's that.
And if Joe Marler was talking, he'd go, and that horse is saying. I'm trying to remember what he said when he had that conversation with the horse.
Yeah.
Something horse related.
An Irish horse, wasn't it? That was the joke.
It was a nice Irish horse. Hey! We discussed just a little intra-podcast question. Not intra. Is it intra, the word I'm looking for? So, podcast chat about the wider rugby podcast world. We are going in, and this is not to blow our own trumpet, but it is a little bit. We are going to maybe enter a CrossFit competition as a threesome. And here's my question. Would we be every other current rugby podcast hosted by pros or amateurs in a CrossFit competition?
That's a great question.
If it depends who's on the lineup of the BBC one. Because if Ugo, Chris Ashton and Danny Kerr are doing it, I'm not sure we're beating...
No disrespect to Chris Jones, by the way.
But if Chris Jones and Sonia McLaughlin are doing it, we might stand a chance.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was thinking like, okay, Hask is obviously, you know, is obviously a machine.
Yeah.
Tyndall's probably not Tyndall's too bad.
Tyndall's probably still doing
it. However... I don't know about Alex Payne.
No, yeah, we
probably pretty solid.
He'd probably be all right. I think Hask would be significantly better than us. That he could probably carry a bit of Alex Payne's.
Yeah, is Hask enough to get them?
That's a good question.
Because I tell you what, we're doing the rugby pod. We would do the rugby pod. I mean, I know Jim trains a bit. You know, sorry, Goody. Sorry, yeah,
we do them.
Andy Rowe, you're just not. It's not in our league.
We do them. Well, it's good. I didn't know any of these podcasts existed, by the way. So it's good that you give me a rundown.
Yeah. Blood and Mud, do them.
What about Maul Over?
Smash them.
I definitely don't know what you're talking about anymore.
Pound them into dust.
Maul Over, yeah. We would pound them into dust.
They
know that, though.
Yeah.
And they're okay with that.
That's fine. That's absolutely fine.
they'd probably do us in the bar afterwards.
Yeah. Well, okay. So... The one I'm not so sure about.
Well, no, hold on. Let me just be clear. They wouldn't do me in a Downing exactly. contest. Yeah. I'd beat the lot of them. I am officially the world record holder.
Exactly right.
And we'd have, with you as anchor, Tim, we'd have not a bad little boat race.
Yeah, we'd have a good boat. Yeah, we'd win the boat race. What I meant is they would be there. The Maul Over boys would probably be the last to leave.
Flats and Shanks is an interesting one because those two are a little bit closer in age to us. Ferociously strong, they're missing a third wheel.
If it was just purely max lifts, but that's the thing about CrossFit, you've got to do it all.
Exactly.
Flat's doing 50 box jumps.
It's not going to happen, is it?
It's not going to happen. Tough.
Dodgy shoulder, got him.
Yeah.
But like, who's the third guy they bring in? If it's like, if they bring in one of their ex-pro mates, we're done. Like, that could be...
Shane Williams.
Yeah. Or Danny Grucock.
Danny Grucock, we're done, aren't we?
Oh, we're over.
It's over. So maybe Flats and Shanks will take the CrossFit.
Yeah, if they get a ringer like Danny Grucock in.
And there's not too many box jumps.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Once again, we win. Yeah.
But if we do this, if we do this team of three CrossFit comp in May, they do live stream it.
Do they?
Do they?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, they should pay us then, rather than us pay them.
Yeah, we should just tell them to put it on Egg Chasers and get far more listeners, far more viewers.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Speaking of which, go to our YouTube channel, hit subscribe and stuff. We'll have to get a bit more, do some more videos again, JB. I know we're both busy boys.
I am. The reason I've stopped is because I'm redoing the dungeon bit by bit, and I'm doing my own little video space in the corner there. And when that's done, I'll be back up and running.
A similar reason for me, we're having an extension, and it's...
Humble brag.
The house is...
many hundreds of thousands, is it?
Building site.
You're putting in the steelwork yourself, Tim.
Yeah.
Is that right?
No. No, it's just the house is a building site. And the area that I did have as a studio is not a studio at the minute.
Yeah. Oh, well.
It's going to be the West Wing.
No. Wow. Guest quarters.
Servants' quarters.
Servants' quarters for the domestic staff. The dog walker, the guy who breaks in your brogues. You got all sorts of people.
I do
working
need
there,
one of them. The number of times I've been caught out, not least when we went to New York, I had brand new loke brogues, and they were beautiful. But walking for an hour and a half across Brooklyn Bridge,
yeah, it's tough, isn't it?
That was a bad call.
Well, I mean, the good news is you can actually have your dog walker to be the same person that breaks in your brogues.
It's a great idea.
Oh, I've never thought of that, combining my domestic stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you just have to say to
your cleaner, just make away your brogues.
You just have to not light your dog and go, no, you can't go anywhere. You muddy. Stay on pavements. Yeah. Yeah.
Walk through shopping centres.
Running track. Lap after lap.
Yeah, they can crap in the middle of the running track. right. Patreon.com/eggchasers. Contact edchasers@gmail.com. He's at Jay Beardmore. We're at Rugby Podcast. We're on YouTube. Let the boys play.
Yeah, boys play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.